Did you say thunderstorms?
I know, right?
Did you say thunderstorms, Rick?
I did. There is a small chance.
Yeah, I can't hear you if you're talking here. So, yeah, I thought we could hear that. Anyhow, we're going to start the Saturday special right now. And, Rick, if you're hearing me, go ahead and take it away.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Well, coming up on 7 minutes past 10 o'clock on AM 1080 KSCO, welcome to the Saturday special. My name is MZ. The day before anniversary number 10 of 9/11 is at hand. Here it is, September 10th, and of course we're going to be talking about that horrible day a decade ago. So we hope you will stay tuned with us, and we will be on for the next 2 hours, and you will be invited to participate.
Good morning. Now
stay right here on KSCO Radio. All right, I want to start by thanking our KSCO listener Nick Clifford for suggesting a 9/11 Saturday special program featuring a group called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We are pleased to have with us as a special guest today Greg Roberts, who is a volunteer for the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He's also an author of a number of publications, and we will go ahead and bring on Greg right now. We also have a special guest, my friend, my good friend, Shar Murphy, who has been on exactly once with us 2 or 3 years back talking about conspiracies. She is the conspiracy gal. I mean, there is nobody that I know who has more in her head about all kinds of information and about things not being as they appear or as we are told than Shar Murphy. And she was on exactly once, and we got an awful lot of response. So I had called Shar earlier today and asked if she could be on. She said she had a personal problem here with her involving family member. But that has since cleared up, so she will be able to be on with us too. But for right now, let's bring on Greg Roberts. Greg, welcome to the Saturday special. Hello? Greg, are
Hello?
You there?
Yes.
Okay, now
I'm
see
here.
You. Okay, yeah, good to talk to you here. We have a brand new studio here, a state-of-the-art studio, and I'm in a different location from you and a different location from the radio station, and we're still after a few weeks here still getting our feet wet with this system here. But you sound great. And let's see, where are you? Are you in Southern California?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Down here in Riverside County.
Right.
Yeah.
And tell us about the organization that you've been part of for a while. I believe it's located here in Northern California in Walnut Creek, yes?
We have an office there, and but of course it's kind of a shoestring operation. We are a tax exempt nonprofit educational charity recognized as a 501c3, and we have a virtual team across the country and around the world. About 100 volunteers with varying amounts of free time to help us write and analyze and produce videos, of course, as we just have a new video coming out with almost 50 experts explaining their agreement with the other 1,500 who've signed our petition calling for a new investigation of what happened to all three skyscrapers on 9/11.
Okay, now tell us about your background. I'm sure you were as shocked as everybody was when this horrible event occurred 10 years ago. Tomorrow, and when did you start thinking that things might not be as the government is telling us?
Sure. Well, I was puzzled watching the towers. I didn't know much about steel at the time, and like a lot of people, I was concern that there might be some kind of collapse. I know now that there was no reason to expect that. But when the tower, the first tower did come down, I was puzzled at how much dust was created. I couldn't even see how far down the collapse had reached. I thought that if there was going to be a collapse, it would have stopped, you know, after a few floors. There would have been a, you know, piece of the tower hanging off the rest of it or something like that. There was no reason. I correctly surmised that there would be no reason for it to collapse all the way to the ground. But I didn't look into it. I had my own life to live, and this is probably a familiar story. I scratched my head and felt the same shock that everyone else did, but I accepted the official explanation for 2 years.
So what changed? What changed after 2 years?
Yeah, well, I had a girlfriend who, we were looking at a magazine about the issue, and she said that she thought that there had been, that it was some kind of inside job. And I said, well, what makes you think that? I mean, we were not fans of the president, either of us, but I wasn't going to believe something so awful just because of that without evidence. And she didn't have evidence. She just had an intuition. But I didn't just blow off what she said. I did start looking on the Internet. I thought, well, there must be some interesting theories, just like JFK, right? And I first found poorly supported claims, but found that there was a lot more to it when I looked into it.
Wow. Yeah, so so it became not an obsession, or yes, an obsession.
Ultimately, it did. I was a peace activist in the 80s. I was working for peace in Latin America, getting the U.S. out of El Salvador and those sorts of things, trying to get our government to stop funding death squads. And I got burned out, of course, from how hard it is to get anything done with those things with our typical kinds of budgets that activists get for these things, and not seeing much success. But I didn't want to find out I was right about 9/11, because I knew it would bring me out of retirement as an activist.
Oh.
After about a month, I decided that, unfortunately, the towers probably were demolished, and various other, some of the claims that I was reading.
All right. Now, I suppose it's either the government's explanation, which is, you know, the planes flew into the towers, created a superheat situation that melted the steel, and everything collapsed. Okay, that is the official explanation. And when you say the inside job, it's either the official explanation or it's an inside job. Is there anything else? Is there any other possibility? And what does inside job mean?
Because
I keep hearing that, and I don't know what it means. What does inside job mean?
Well, it's probably better if we begin at the beginning with the physical evidence, because
sure.
That's what
okay.
our focus is at
okay.
architects and engineers. For many people, they just react emotionally as soon as you say anything like that about an inside job. So we have to explain why we think that. And so hopefully we haven't lost any of your listeners yet, and we will lead them along the same way we've gone. So the biggest smoking gun is Building 7, which most people don't even know about, and they have even fewer people have actually seen its collapse. Your listeners could go right now to WTC7.net on their computer, and they can watch videos from network television from the day, 5:20 in the afternoon, a 47-story skyscraper housing offices of the CIA, the Secret Service, Securities and Exchange Commission, and some banks, almost half the height of one of the Twin Towers, came down in about 7 seconds, straight down into its footprint with minimal asymmetry. That is to say, all the connections in the steel structure of this huge building, completed in the 80s, broke apart in just the right fashion so that it did not tip over except slightly into the street at the end of its, towards the end of its collapse.
And clearly, no jet plane ran into it.
No jet plane ran into it.
It would have been probably impossible, you know, for that, because it just wasn't high enough to, right, for that to happen, I don't think. But clearly it doesn't. No one, including the government, has said that it did. And when I saw that, when I learned about Building 7 and watched the, I don't know if I watched the exact video that you've just described at WTC7.net, but I did see it, and I said, wait a minute, no. And when you ask people about that, they said, well, they shrug their shoulder, and they don't know. they don't know. But it doesn't. I don't understand why that alone doesn't convince people that there's something askew here.
You know? Engineers were baffled, as reported by the New York Times, by the collapse of Building 7 and the Twin Towers. The head of the NIST, N-I-S-T, National Institutes of Standards and Technology investigation, so-called investigation, Shyam Sunder, agreed that it was puzzling. He said, we've had trouble getting a handle on Building 7. They postponed their report several times, and we can understand why they would have trouble, since they failed to consider the most obvious factually supported hypothesis, which is that explosives were placed in the building over a period of time, very deliberately, to bring
right,
it
now,
straight
who,
down.
Who might the... Okay, assuming that that is true, and assuming that you believe that, who would have placed the explosives there?
Well, again, you're getting a little bit ahead. We can talk about the connections and capabilities that such people would have to have. But let's come back to make sure people are with us on this.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Sure.
It's one thing to say that a building collapsed. It's another thing to say that a steel-framed, modern, fireproof skyscraper collapsed after only 7 hours of fires that spread around the building in various places. They were not raging the way some other skyscraper fires have raged that we've all seen, and where there was no collapse whatsoever. This is a staggering contradiction to what we understand about how steel behaves in fires, the temperatures that can be reached in fires, and the laws of physics, essentially. Because when you have a free fall collapse, which is what the government agrees happened for about 2 seconds of Building 7's destruction, that means there was no resistance to the building going down through the steel structure that had supported it for all those years. This is not possible from fire. This is not possible from any cause other than explosives. So what people need to grasp before you get into how they did it, who did it or why, people need to understand there's no doubt about this conclusion. When you understand the facts, it's unescapable.
Okay. We are talking with Greg Roberts, who is a volunteer representative with an organization called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. What is it? AAE. What's the website? It's for people who want to check that out.
Yes, it's AE911truth.org.
Okay, and there's no dashes or anything.
No.
Okay. AE911truth.org. Fascinating website.
Yes. Thank you.
Greg,
go to the evidence page and watch videos for free, as well as the ones I mentioned earlier on WTC7.net. It's all there, technical articles, summaries of the evidence that I'll be discussing here today.
Right. Okay, I want to bring Shar in. She can actually be sort of a co-host with us today here. I want to make sure we lock everybody in. Okay, Shar, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? How's everything back in Michigan?
Oh, good. I heard your weather report, and it's pretty much the same as ours.
Okay, great. So you're on with Greg Roberts and MZ here on the KSCO Saturday Special, and I thought you would be a perfect person to have on the air with us today, and I'm happy that you're available and that your mom is okay and so forth. So, I assume you heard while you were on hold, you heard the initial interview with Greg. Yes.
I did, and I also saw the websites of the airline pilots and engineers. They have a website that basically about 80 of them at the time I looked put statements on the on their website that they that those buildings couldn't have just collapsed by themselves, and that the fire didn't do it. And the PBS made a documentary when they were building those Twin Towers about them, that they were built to withstand multiple planes. And the largest plane at the time was one plane smaller than what supposedly hit them. And they said, as far as, there wasn't that much difference between the next size plane that they built after they built the Twin Towers. So if they were built according to PBS, documentary to withstand multiple plane strikes. It's funny that one, you know, plane took it down. When you think about it, it doesn't make sense. And when I saw it first, my husband said it looks like an implosion. And the first thing is like, oh, my God, the government wouldn't kill all its own people. But the more you learn about it, then you start to realize there's no other conclusion, like the gentleman said. You have to realize it.
Well, Greg, talking with Greg off the air earlier today, I mean, Greg was telling me he's been on quite a number of interviews in the last few days, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg. One of the hosts, I think you said, in a Canada TV station was really trying to get you to say that it was the government who did it, and that you have not said that. Am I right?
Well, yeah, he's on a radio station. But, yeah, it's, I mean, the whole government would never be involved in something like this. This is the first thing to understand. We can agree with our critics about that. Most people would not willingly participate in such a thing. But people don't hear the distinction between some people in the government did it and the government did it. So that's the first problem. They're just, people are emotional about this, and they don't listen carefully. So it's better to just talk about the physics of it and the facts, and the reason we need a new investigation, which is a real one this time, with subpoena power, like we really mean it, unlike what the 9/11 Commission exercised or any of the other investigations that we've been treated to so far.
So, Shar, you watched it live, as did so many of us, yes?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I was delivering mail for the U.S. Postal Service at the time. I heard it on the radio, but, of course, as soon as I got home, I started watching it. One of the things that I think is a big wake-up call for most people is, remember that golfer that had his own Learjet, and he left the airport down in Florida, Payne Stewart, and his plane decompressurized, and they had two, I think they were Navy pilots, on both sides of that Learjet within 8 minutes of when it decompressurized, and they lost contact because everybody died on it. But there were 17 minutes between the first plane strike and the second plane strike. So you're telling me that a little Learjet decompressurized, everybody died in it, and they had two Navy jets, both sides of it, after 8 minutes, and yet there were 17 minutes between the two attacks on the Twin Towers. That, to me, tells you right there that there's a problem, right?
Well, yes, I suppose it does. What do you think, Greg?
Oh, it's great to tell that one story, but it's routine, because people will tell you, oh, that was the exception, or, you know, maybe those jet fighters just happened to be nearby. But no, the government has admitted that this is routine. You can get the records and see for yourself. There were unusual problems on 9/11 with war games that moved airplanes out of the area, and they said, oh, well, we weren't on alert anymore because the Cold War was over. That's not true. They intercepted, or at least were scrambled to intercept planes that were in trouble scores of times per year. It was routinely practiced, and, you know, maybe they straightened things out before they got alongside the jetliner in some of those cases, but there must have been also scores of actual interceptions to look at and see what's going on. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions. Architects and engineers, again, focuses on the three skyscrapers in New York City. But we can all find these things out, and we can all get on the Internet and find these things out for ourselves.
Do you think we'll ever know the real truth? What actually happened beyond a shadow of a doubt?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because throughout history, I mean, they still don't really know if John Wilkes Booth is the one that killed President Lincoln. And whatever, the winners are the ones that get to write history. And I think, I read a survey on the Internet a few years ago that 80-some percent of the people now don't believe that Oswald killed Kennedy. But do you think they'll ever change written history? No.
Well, there's revisionist history rewrites going on all the time. So,
well,
and now with the information age, my gosh, I mean, how do you I was talking yesterday, someone sent an email about discrediting Snopes.com, you know, the debunking site. I mean, the site that you go to verify the veracity of everything. And I never bought into that anyhow. I mean, I never could quite understand how God or some almighty, you know, entity could could designate a particular couple as the truth filter, the ultimate truth filter, you know, and it turns out that they were caught being a little sleazy here just recently. It's been a news story. So how do you ever know what the truth is, especially in the information age where there are no barriers to entry? Anybody can publish anything that can be seen by millions of people, you know.
Well, this is I have a take on your question about knowing the truth. And the first take is that we know enough. We can assess the evidence and see who's basically giving you a full picture and who's trying to minimize the most relevant evidence about what happened in New York City. We don't need to know the names and phone numbers of the people who were involved in it to know that it wasn't what we were told it was. And given that there has to have been some purpose to manipulate us into the war on terror for whatever reason, whatever combination of reasons. And so it reinforces what so many people have seen, even on the official story, that the treatments are worse than the disease in many ways, with all the damage to our civil liberties and the outrageous expenses of the illegal wars, the loss of further respect for so-called American ideals around the world. 9/11 truth offers so many ways to reverse these horrific things if only more people would open their eyes to it. I think
awful lot of people are now opening their eyes. People like me, and I've always been willing to listen to anybody who doesn't sound like a complete nutcase or isn't disrespectful or anything. I've always been willing to do that, but I find myself really, as I was telling you earlier, I believe the John F. Kennedy assassination explanation advanced by the Warren Commission until I visited Dealey Plaza in 1995 in Dallas, and when you're there and you're standing in the three-dimensional world, there's just no way in the world you can buy the story about the Kennedy assassination.
It's a whole different thing to actually take responsibility as you did and assess the evidence for yourself. And I mean, you went above and beyond the call by actually visiting that scene, but again, you hear about a collapse, you hear about steel temperatures, and you just kind of, unless you engage with it, you're going to wave it away because it's disturbing to so many people's worldview, and they don't want to be shaken up in that way.
Right. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and the world via KSCO.com. We stream live 24/7. You can go through our website, KSCO.com, and click the Listen Live button if you want to hear us from somewhere far away or on your iPhone or on your smartphone. We're talking today in honor of the 10th anniversary coming up tomorrow of the horrific events of 9/11, 2001. And we have a special guest. We have two special guests, actually, today. One is Greg Roberts from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Greg has also written a book along with Arthur Naiman, his co-writer, 9/11, The Simple Fact. And that's available, I think, on Amazon. Am I right?
Yes, 9/11, The Simple Fact, Why the Official Story Can't Possibly Be True.
Uh-huh. And we also have my good friend Char Murphy, with whom I've been acquainted for years. We work in the longevity business together. I've made some of the best friends of my life in that business, and that's why I'm always promoting it on KSCO. And we're working with Alex Jones and so forth on this. And so it's a great way to meet really, really interesting people. So, and if you want to participate in the program, we're going to be opening the phones a little later on. There's an awful lot to talk about with these fine people. But if you want to participate, the phone number to call is 831-479-1080, 479-1080. Richard B. Luther or Rick, are you there? I'm not sure about the monitoring situation. I think we need to take a commercial break here, but I'm not sure if I can monitor the commercial. So is there someone there who can let me know if I'll be able to do that? Should we just pitch to that
right
now?
Yeah, Rick is going to fire the commercials.
Okay, he'll fire the commercials, and I won't be able to hear them, but I'm going to assume that Rick will fire the commercial break right now in 3.
Did you know prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in American men, aside from skin cancer? Join us at Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center on Saturday, September 17th from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. for the 10th Annual Prostate Cancer Awareness Day. The event is free and open to the community. Free blood work and prostate exams will be conducted. Dr. Stephen Roberts will be giving his free lecture on prostate cancer screening, treatment, and prevention at 8 a.m. and then again at 10. The event will be held at 2900 Chanticleer Avenue in Santa Cruz. This event honors National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month and is hosted by Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center and the Palo Alto Medical Foundation Santa Cruz, a local leader in the detection, prevention, and treatment of prostate cancer. For more information, call 479-6629 or visit our website at pamf.org/events. Please join us.
My name is Mickey Phelps, and I run Crown Catering, powered by Scotts Valley Market. We offer a full range of catering services, from formal to sit-downs to even cheese and wine parties. Let's say you want to have a nice get-together where a few women want to get together after work. We'll come, and we'll actually choose some cheeses. I'll pair the wine for you, and we can all have a good time. I can get you up and running in just a few minutes. What makes us different from other catering companies that are out there is that we actually own a store, Scotts Valley Market. So if we need things, we can go to the store and grab them off the shelf versus calling in a distributor. We have them already available to us. We cater from 5 to 5,000. Bring it on, as I say. We are available 24/7, 7 days a week, of course. Crown Catering, 831-566-1425. And guess what, folks? You get to speak with the executive chef, Mickey Phelps. And that's me, folks.
Have you ever walked on a rainbow? Have you ever had your dreams come true?
You'd never believe who sells the most hardwood floors on the Central Coast is Rainbow Carpet One. They've got the lowest prices, expert hardwood installers, and the most amazing selection of hardwood floors anywhere. Solid oaks and maples, hand-scraped floors, European parquets, eco-friendly floors, exotic species, sustainable cork, and bamboo. They'll even refinish your old hardwood floors and make them beautiful, too. Plus, you can always get free financing for 1 year and free in-home estimates at Rainbow Carpet One. Nobody beats the nationwide buying power of Carpet One. Lower prices than the big box stores with 10 times the selection. Visit Rainbow Carpet One in Santa Cruz, Watsonville, and Gilroy, or shop online at rainbowcarpetone.com.
At Rainbow Carpet,
you can walk on a rainbow.
At Rainbow Carpet,
so many colors to choose from.
At Rainbow Carpet.
Thanks for listening to AM 1080 KSCO.
Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. I'm MZ. It's September 10th, 1 day before anniversary number 10 of 9/11, that horrific day in our United States history. We are talking with our special guests, Greg Roberts and Char Murphy. And let's bring them both in fact, I think they're both on already. Hello. Is that you, Greg? Are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, great, because I'm hearing some paper shuffling. I don't know whether that's coming from you or Char, but it ain't coming from me. Anyhow, we want to get back on track here. So, have we gotten a good amount of the way down through the discussion about why you believe that there's no possibility that it was not a detonated explosion that took down the towers? Yes.
Yes, as I said, the laws of physics just rule it out. You can watch the videos. They've been timed by a physics instructor named David Chandler. He's published his videos on YouTube and on our site. And he forced the government engineers to change their story and admit that the building had come down in free fall for a couple of seconds. And earlier, when they were denying that, they had made our point that free fall would mean there was no supporting structure underneath the part that was falling. When they admitted that we were right, they didn't mention that again. So it's pretty clear to those with eyes to see what's going on here.
Okay. Now, Are we okay, as far as you're concerned, Greg, jumping to the next thing about who and why?
Well, let's talk about the Twin Towers for a minute, because some people are inclined to put the brakes on every step of the way and say, well, maybe 7 was a demolition, but the Twin Towers weren't, right?
Okay, sure.
They want to take refuge in the impacts of the jetliners and the fires. There's kind of two levels of cover story for this whole thing. The first level is the public mind, where people supporting the official story, so-called engineers, actually said that the jet fuel melted the steel. That's absolutely impossible. And there was a necessity to go to a second level of story, which was to say, well, okay, sure, the jet fuel actually burned off in the first 5 minutes. It ignited office contents throughout several floors, and the jet planes knocked fireproofing off the steel. And so it was all these things. They had to make their story a little bit more complicated to pass muster with more critical thinkers, but they still seem to have largely gotten away with that that account. Now, to the problems with that account, first of all, no combination of fires in a building, no matter how hot or long-lasting, have ever brought down a skyscraper. This is a huge part of the reason we build them out of steel in the first place. The melting point of steel is 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit, approximately.
What is the temperature of burning jet fuel?
I get different numbers on that. That's kind of an interesting.
But it's nowhere near 2,700, though, huh?
It's nowhere near 2,700, exactly. Now, so then the other side reverts back and says, well, you only have to soften the steel. You only have to weaken it. The problem with that is, if there was going to be a collapse, it would have been a localized, uneven, sagging, groaning sort of collapse. It would not have gone all the way through both towers to the ground, flinging steel everywhere, pulverizing the concrete, turning it into powder before it even hits the ground. I mean, take a chunk of concrete from a construction site, a deconstruction site, you know, drop the concrete from 30 or 40 or 50 feet. It does not turn into powder. It will break up into pieces and there'll be a little bit of dust, but it does not get pulverized to the point that we saw these huge opaque clouds being converted as the buildings came down. That's part of the problem. Again, the list goes on, and people can review the evidence in the right column of our website, ae911truth.org.
Okay. I'm curious about how many of our listening audience is coming around here or changing their attitude about this. We're going to be opening the phone lines here pretty soon. People might as well start calling in at 479-1080. Our trusty old phone number is back, and we would like to hear from anyone who wants to weigh in on this particularly. I'm interested. I'm actually a pretty, what do you say? I'm not the opposite of a hostile. I'm a supportive interviewer because it looks like we have almost jammed lines here all of a sudden here. This is great. I'm not a hostile interviewer at all. In fact, I just about everything Greg says is making an awful lot of sense to me. I'd like to hear from some disbelieving or some hostile callers. You know, who can add a little spice to the program here, because everybody agreeing with everybody doesn't make for as interesting radio. You're chuckling, Char. Do you have anything you want to add right now before we go to some of the callers?
Yeah, probably the most popular video about it that I think of is Loose Change 2, and I've watched quite a few videos, Painful Deceptions and Loose Change 2 and Festival Cut. Photographer was making videos in Hoboken, I guess, and videotaped the whole thing from a different angle. I've watched so many of these, and I don't even remember which one, but you can see the debris that came down, and it was exactly cut. The steel beams were pulverized at angles, not across, but at angles, and they actually were cut at the right length that would fit on a truck. What a coincidence, right? And I heard on these videos that somebody, when they were hauling all this steel and everything to the ships to take it over to China, Some guy took a extra lunch break or something, and they fired him because they didn't want it. That's evidence, really, and they wanted to get rid of it so that nobody could check it or test it to find out what actually blew it up. Because as long as it's all gone and gone to China, how are you going to ever find out what really happened?
Sure. Okay. Well, gee, let's get to some of our callers here. I guess the first caller is Bill in Monterey. Let's bring Bill on the air and welcome him to KSCO. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've got a few questions. I was wondering, is the guest an architect or an engineer?
Yeah, Greg. Greg, you should answer that. So.
No, I'm a technical writer. I jumped in to help. Engineers are not known for writing clearly, so I help with the newsletter articles and the website, various aspects, and. One of the people who stepped forward, I'm very familiar with the evidence, so I thought I would come on and help out.
Did you read the 9/11 report in its entirety?
No, I did not.
No, but I've heard some points off of it, and I was wondering, since you're the expert, I'd ask you about the points I heard. I've set steel. I've been in the construction business for 40 years, and I used to set steel quite often, and I'm wondering, do you know what the heat temperature has to be and how long it's got to be on the steel before it loses its tensile strength?
Well, it's never a sudden process, and again, we've had skyscrapers survive many hours of fire. We had the North Tower of the World Trade Center itself survive a fire that lasted for several hours.
You don't know the answer to that question, though, do you?
The number I remember is it loses half its strength at 600 degrees centigrade.
For how long?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would assume instantaneous.
We can grant the full benefit of the story.
We can grant your point and say it loses half its strength instantly. The towers could have withstood a 2,000% increase in their live loads with all the exterior columns cut on one side and a little bit around the corners, and they would have still survived. So
doesn't
account for any of the evidence.
Well, I think when people say that the steel cannot melt, that's not describing it properly. Steel is not going to melt. It's just going to lose its hardness, which is described as its tensile strength, and then it cannot carry the weight load bearing capacity for which it was designed. Now, on the building, what was it, 7, the smaller building, supposedly there was a fuel tank in the basement that was on fire that the firemen were trying to put out. Have you heard anything on that?
Yes, that was alluded to early on as one of the possible explanations, but the last report from the government says that that had nothing to do with it.
Now, I had heard that because I've put a lot of steel and I've worked on a lot of steel buildings, that they do blow on, they used to. I don't think they're doing it anymore. Or even if it was done on that building back there, because they would spray on an asbestos coating on the steel, which would increase its heat-bearing capacity. But I had heard that that was not applied to that steel.
Well, so if you read the report, you would know that the official story blames the airliners for knocking the insulation off. There certainly was sprayed-on insulation in the Twin Towers. In fact, there was a renovation project to get rid of some of it because it was laden with asbestos. But, again, no critical calculations were done. This was a series of really brain-dead shotgun tests at a flat piece of metal. There's no way you can remove enough fireproofing to make any difference in 1 hour or 1 hour and a half of fires caused by office furnishings in buildings that were completely overbuilt, nor would you result in a collapse that goes all the way down through the cold steel that was completely unaffected by the fires, flinging huge steel assemblies hundreds of feet, pulverizing the concrete thoroughly all the way down 3 times in 1 day in the case of 7, which, of course, was not flung into pieces. It came down straight like a completely classic controlled demolition. On top of all that, you have the iron-rich microspheres discovered in the dust, which is attested to by the United States Geological Survey, the Environmental Protection Agency, the engineering firm R.J. Lee Group. You know, these are the experts I'm pointing to. I'm not making myself out to be an expert, but I have familiarized myself with the evidence.
So, Bill, in Monterey, are you starting to change your view a little bit? Or?
Well, like I've told several of your call hosts who believe in this theory, I'm willing to put up $1,000 to any charity on the planet if you win the bet. And I'll put a piece of steel between 2 6-foot ladders, and I'll put it up about 3-4 feet, and someone can stand on that. And I'll bring that to 600 degrees for 20 minutes, and we'll see if you can continue to stand on it. And it won't be, you won't be standing on it because your feet are burning, because the steel will turn like a pretzel. It doesn't break. It doesn't melt. It turns like a pretzel from heat.
Okay, that makes sense. So would that explain the demolition, the collapse of the towers?
Yes, because the heat, and you may be right, that could have broke off some insulation on the steel, and that fuel heated up the steel, and that steel, that all the rest of the steel above the steel that was heated up will not be able, that piece of steel will not be able to carry the load it was designed for, and would collapse just like the Twin Towers did collapse, if that happened.
Right. Okay.
Yes,
well, listen,
no doubt about it.
Thank you much, Monterey Bill. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Our next caller will be, let's see. If I just say take next, let's see who it'll take. It looks like it's taking Ray in Scotts Valley. Ray, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Oh, what a great time to air this program. I just want to let everybody know that I just drove into town last night, and I left from 50 miles south of the Canadian border the morning before yesterday. So I've been listening to all kinds of talk radio coming down Interstate 5.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, it was you know, all day long, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. And the point I want to make is that this seems to be, and I didn't want to believe any of those, you know, the alternate versions of what happened, just like everybody else for the longest time. And I'm a teeny bit of a conspiracy buff, but not, you know, I don't my life doesn't focus around that. But it's just one of these scenarios where it just seems the more that the mainstream, or the, you know, the corporate news sources and all that, where we get our information, it's like they're constantly droning this, you know, this is the way it happened, this is the way it happened, this is the way it happened. And when you started your program, the first thing that your guest spoke about was there's just a lot of obvious things that no matter how they want to make it all add up. Even the gentleman that was on before me, and he had good things to say. He's experienced metallurgy and all that. But I really do believe that if you want to see what's going on, follow the money. If you want to see what's really going on, you got to stay on top of this, because after spending, I was up in Washington State for 10 days, I guarantee you, everybody just takes the mainstream news stuff as gospel. And that's fine. It's a beautiful place to live and all that. But, you know, the one thing about Santa Cruz area and California to a greater or lesser degree, most people want to know it all. They want to find out what's really going on. And with just a little digging, it seems that this whole thing, 10 years gone by now, and it seems like the event was only 5 minutes ago. I know everybody has that same feeling. There's just a lot of loose ends that have not been taken care of. So that's just my commentary on the show. Have a really good morning. I know this is going to get real interesting as we go along here.
Okay, Ray. Thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. Next caller will be Keith in Watsonville. Thanks for waiting, Keith. You're on KSCO with Greg Roberts, Char Murphy, and MZ.
Good morning, MZ. By the way, you got an awesome radio station there. Yeah, I just want to say I've spent a lot of time studying this since it first happened. The first time I saw it on TV, I said to my neighbor, that plane did not bring down that building. I don't know, a lot of Americans probably don't know, but right now in Toronto, Canada, they're having an international hearing on a 9/11. I have heard nothing about it on the local media, and I don't watch TV, so everybody should check that out. But there's also that organization, A&E 9/11 Truths, which is architects and engineers.
Yeah, that's where Greg is from. Greg is on with us representing that organization.
Yeah, I've been watching that, and it's just a no-brainer. Those buildings came down in free fall. And if anybody fools enough to try to argue with that, I work on yachts for a living, so I have to know a lot about metals and just a lot of things. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I ain't the stupidest. And you got to be pretty foolish to believe airplanes brought down a building where the oriental guy, for his name, the guy, the architect of that, said they even designed it for 727s. It's just, to me, it's people don't want to set the false flag operations, which have been going on in history. So you can close your eyes and say plane brought down. You can do some investigating, go on YouTube. There's too many facts out there to deny the truth.
All right, so you believe that someone said, bring them down, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And the Mr. Silverstein put insurance out on those buildings for exactly terrorist attacks. How many people do that? And also be advised. Bush's brother was in charge of security for the World Trade Center. If you just do a little investigating, the facts jump out at you.
I wonder if we could get him on the Saturday special.
That'd be great. Hey, do you still have that, have a call-in number, the 222 number?
No, we got rid of that because one person in particular was monopolizing it, you know. Actually, there's some new technology now so that we can get the people who want to do that. I mean, it's funny. Some people are banned from the radio station for callers because they're obnoxious and they don't live by the very few rules that we have. And so instead, they would go to the comment line and monopolize the comment line. So...
Yeah, there's always one bad apple in the group, you know.
Yeah, so that's why we eliminated that. But I'm going to look into reinstalling that and doing it in such a way that it'll capture the person's phone number, and if they're bad, then we can get to them and we can
spank them.
Yeah, we can. They need a spanking sometimes.
As a fellow American, are you aware of the Toronto hearings that are going on currently right now in Canada about 9/11?
No, yeah. Tell me.
I knew it.
Okay, yeah. Char knows a lot because she lives pretty close to Canada, and her business takes her to Canada quite frequently, right, Char?
Yes, and I'll tell you, it's close to 90% of the people surveyed in Canada believe it was an inside job, whatever that means. But they believe there was something fishy about the whole thing. And you're right, they have hearings in Toronto called, it's an international inquiry into 9/11, and they have their own website, too.
Yeah, I wish more Americans knew about it. It's like the media here is all bought and paid for, except for this wonderful station. Thank you very much, the Swirling family.
You're very, very kind. Appreciate your...
But yeah, just everybody needs to check out the Toronto hearings and see what the rest of the world thinks. You know, we've been lying, and the rest of the world goes, wake up, Americans. I live in Mexico in the winter, and this last winter I talked to people from all over the world, and not one of them did not believe that there was something really out of line with the official story, which Bush did everything in his power to cover up. I mean, come on, not one picture of the plane flying into the Pentagon. I sit here and just go point after point after point that there's no sense till you want to learn yourself, but this man is convinced, and reading many, 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 many books, reading every study I can, and there's so many facts, and also it's on wantoknow.info, which is a wonderful website. There's an article written that some engineers wrote up, and also about all the money that was covered up during the 9/11. It just got it. You know what? I'm going to download that and bring it into the station and give it to you, NZ and Rosie, and just read it for yourself. It's just amazing.
Don't kill the trees and waste the ink. Just email it to us, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's, anyway, that's the easiest way to do it.
I got you some gas in this little car, and thank you, everybody, for opening your eyes.
Okay, thank you very much, Keith. That was Keith in Watsonville. 479-1080 is the phone number to call us. It's in area 831. You can email mz@ksco.com. Next hour, I definitely want to get into the, why the towers would have been demolished instead of... taken down by the airplanes here, and I hope you'll stick around, Greg. But I don't know if that's your favorite topic, about why. Maybe that's you don't even want to get into that. But you tell me, because I know Char would be great, on this. So you feel like weighing in on that yourself?
Well, sure, I could do that. I think it's people are going to have to make a distinction between my views and observations and those of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. But I would also add that there's a great deal of physical evidence we haven't talked about yet. I'm one of the co-authors of the paper that found advanced energetic materials, thermitic materials, in the dust from the World Trade
Center. Oh, okay. Well, we can certainly get into that. If you have the time, we'd love to have you. So, but sure. I really do want to get into the why thing and give it some significant time next hour. But give us a call, 479-1080, if you want to participate. Now, here's Scott in Scott's Valley. Hey, hey Scott, you're on the air.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of laid up with a couple of broken heels, but other than that...
Broken heels?
Yeah, I took a long walk off a short deck.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm alive, and I'm grateful for that. So I'm sucking down another lung full of air. I'm just God's green there.
Wow.
But,
well, thanks for calling in today.
So have I come to the understanding that you've... may have turned your mind around that, hey, there's
shenanigans
being called on this.
I do not. Yes, I have turned around, but I'm still asking questions about why and who, because I have no idea
I was saying good. You should always be asking questions. It's just that I seem to remember, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when this was first brought up on your radio station that. A lot of people were like, "No, this can't be. Are you kidding me? You're out of your mind."
Did I ever react like that? That you recall?
You had once asked me, "Come on, do you really believe that this was an inside job?" And I was like, "Please, MC, take a look at all the evidence. Take, for example." If you got a dirty fire, it burns a bright orange, which is what you had on 9/11. You got a controlled fire, which is something that like on your stove is burning propane, and you got a nice bright blue flame. That blue flame still cannot melt steel, and yet we had firefighters who were working at ground zero for weeks after. We had satellite photos showing these incredibly hot spots. And these firefighters were saying that we had molten steel running underneath the ground zero debris like a foundry. Now, how in the hell is a dirty fire going to take steel and melt it and keep it in a molten state for weeks after this incident?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
The only explanation to it is because it was a controlled demolition. And I'm glad that your guest is going to be getting more into the what was found in the debris, the thermite residue.
Well, it sounds like you're quite the expert yourself, Scott. Wow.
I got a lot of flack from a lot of people when I first started bringing this up in the Santa Cruz area. And I'm glad to see that people are finally coming around, not necessarily to my opinion, because it doesn't matter what my opinion is. The fact is that the truth is going to come out, and the truth is that this was controlled demolition, and we'll get into the next hour of why, and the why is for control. For dominance, to keep you afraid and to keep you under control of this fight or flight method of thinking. Because once you're able to subvert people by bypassing their logic and hitting them right where it counts in their emotion, you got them. Thanks for a great show, MZ.
I appreciate your kind words, Scott. Thank you. Well, 479-1080 is the phone number in area 831. We're coming up on the top of the hour, 11 o'clock news with Fox. And we've got another hour coming at you straight ahead, so we hope you'll stay with us. Barry in Santa Cruz, Perry in Watsonville, stay with us. There were two or three other people, I guess, decided to drop off because we're coming up to the top of the hour. After the top of the hour, we're going to do a K's commentary, which will be done live, actually, because we didn't get a chance to pre-record that. So that'll be coming up, and then the rest of the hour we will be continuing this great topic right on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel, honoring those who died in Shanksville, Pennsylvania on 9/11. Let's go live to Shanksville and Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper.
Karen, by the time the ceremony got underway, the sun came out and a gentle breeze started blowing as the crowd listened to a reading by poet Robert Pinsky honoring those on Flight 93. They chose to take on the hijackers, the plane ultimately crashing just a few hundred feet from where this crowd sits today. Then the remembrance bells and the reading of all 40 names. Those names have been etched into a marble wall being unveiled by dignitaries including Vice President Joe Biden and former President George W. Bush, who received a standing ovation. Karen?
Jennifer, thank you very much. Earlier today, former President Bush was at the Pentagon. He laid a wreath of white flowers at the precise spot where that plane hit the Pentagon. American Airlines Flight 77 crashing into the building. Tomorrow in New York, the National September 11th Memorial will be opening to the families. Fox News Radio's Todd Starnes got an early look.
I'm on the 20th floor of One World Trade Center, and I have a picture-perfect view of the 9/11 Memorial Plaza. 400 white oak trees are planted, and the two giant waterfalls are cascading beautiful water. A protective covering still protects the bronze plates featuring the names of those who died here. And on Sunday, 10 years later, the names of the lost will be unveiled to the nation. Inside the World Trade Center, Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
The FBI says we're watching when it comes to the possibility of terrorists targeting 9/11 memorials this weekend. The director of the FBI's Washington field office says he's expecting an increase in threats and investigations. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The Willis Report is on. Smart, trusted, and on point. Jerry Willis gives it to you straight.
It's not what we were promised, not by a long shot. Certainly, I think people are going to be keeping an eye on this.
Investigating top business stories, outing corporate scams, and policing D.C. policy.
I wish that Congress would feel the obligation to actually explain it to us.
Jerry Willis, uncovering the real stories behind the business headlines.
It's going to be shocking.
Check in with the Willis Report on the Fox Business Network. Judge Napolitano is on the case, policing big government, exposing bureaucrats, safeguarding your rights.
The Constitution was written to limit the government. When politicians cross that line, I'll be there.
The judge is taking the toughest issues head on. Exclusive interviews, hard-hitting investigations. The one show delivering a message straight to D.C.'s power players.
From Capitol happenings to Supreme Court surprises, we're in the middle of it all.
Catch Freedom Watch weeknights at 8 Eastern, only on Fox Business. The power to prosper.
It's been nearly 10 years since the U.S. invaded Afghanistan.
This is a very different war compared to when U.S. troops first landed here in Afghanistan 10 years ago. The enemy is not so much Al-Qaeda anymore, but rather the Afghan Taliban, which has become the main enemy on the battlefield for U.S. troops. Since about 2004, violence has been steadily increasing, but just 2 years ago, U.S. commanders implemented a new strategy, added an additional 30,000 American troops, and now U.S. commanders say they have turned the tide and are reversing the Taliban momentum. Violence continues to rise, so it's not 100% clear if they are, in fact, winning the war here. But U.S. commanders remain confident that they are getting a grip of the violence here. In Kabul, Connor Powell, Fox News Radio.
Even in hiding, Libya's ousted leader Muammar Gaddafi is urging on what followers he has left. In an audio message broadcast on local radio, Gaddafi called his supporters to rise up. Meantime, Libya's provisional government chief arrived in the capital of Tripoli for the first time. America's new ambassador to China is amazing, some bloggers.
In Seattle, he bought his own coffee. A candid photo of the event went viral here. On the way back from Sichuan 2 weeks ago, he flew economy. And when a stewardess tried to give him VIP treatment, Ambassador Gary Locke declined. One reason for the hoopla is that Chinese are used to their own politicians acting like emperors, not ordinary citizens. This middle-class professional, who wanted to remain anonymous, said China's media was just amplifying Locke's normal behavior.
He may not necessarily try to put on a show, you know. It's just natural for him.
Many who knew Locke when he was Washington governor agree and say his modesty is nothing new. In Shanghai, Bill Marcus, Fox News Radio.
Officials from Fort Bragg say they're trying to find out what happened to 14,000 rounds of ammunition. A spokesman says that ammunition went missing from the 1st Brigade Combat Team at Fort Bragg. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
It's 11:05 on this Saturday morning, September 10th. Good morning, I'm Rick O'Shea on KLCO with a traffic and weather update. As far as your roadways go, I have a couple of collisions out there near the Lexington Reservoir, Highway 9 at 236. In Boulder Creek, there is a two-car crash. This was just before 11 o'clock, head-on collision, major injury. CHP is on scene again, Highway 9 at 236, close to Boulder Creek. Highway 156, right in Castroville, there is a pedestrian walking on the right-hand side, very close to the roadway. CHP is en route there. And 17, just south of Glenwood Cutoff, there is a couple of deer on the right-hand side, very close to the roadway. CHP en route there. KLCO weather, mostly cloudy. Highs at the oceans in the upper 60s and low 70s. Inland is where you might find some sun, middle to upper 70s and low 80s there. It's 11:06 now. Time to continue with the Saturday special with MZ.
Hey there, Rick. Good job. Thank you very much for being a great pilot in command. Okay. Here we are at 11:06 a.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Let's start hour number two officially, okay, by playing the hour two phone jingle with that sexy babe. Okay.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on...
Proud to be the trustee of the Inside Track right here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Stay with us for the next hour. I think you will be happy you did.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go.
Uh-oh.
KSCO Radio.
Extra proud of our technical difficulties, the finest in the entire industry. Now, I can't hear Rick. I think Rick can do a better job than I can do of doing an impression of big-voiced Billy. But since I can't hear him, I don't know whether he is on mic, so I'm going to try to do it myself here. It's time. In keeping format that we do a K's commentary, and as I said, it was not recorded, so you're going to hear a live K's commentary right now, and it's only about it's actually a short one, so we will go ahead and do that starting right. The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Dear listeners, this is a story about two men who like money very much. One of them is wealthy, very wealthy, because his business owns many store branches around the entire United States. I believe this is a story of incredible greed. I also believe these two buddies hired two local attorneys to look into issues regarding our fairgrounds, which naturally make noise during all hours of the day and night. I believe these two men have an evil agenda. I further believe they instructed their attorneys to make life legally miserable for our fairground personnel to the extent that the fairgrounds would be forced to close down, like frivolous lawsuits. Evidently, state fairgrounds no longer receive government funds. I also believe these rich skunks would immediately purchase the fairground land and develop it into home sites to make a financial killing for themselves. I believe they don't care. The thousands of us would be denied the pleasures of all the wonderful activities of our own fairgrounds. Money does evil things to some people. One wonders how much is ever enough. Now, if all of the above is indeed true, we at KSCO are committed to exposing these two scoundrels and their attorneys so that their evil plans will never come to fruition. For KSCO, this is Case Whirling.
Way to go, Ma. Hope you'll stick around and weigh in on the 9/11 business.
Okay.
Okay, good. Great. 10 minutes past 11 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We have special guests on the phone. Greg Roberts from Southern California via Skype, and Shauna Murphy from Michigan via the standard phone line. And you are all invited to participate, weigh in on 9/11, what happened 10 years ago tomorrow. And whether you think it is as the government has told us, or what your view is. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. mz@ksco.com is the way for you to participate via email. We do have a couple of lines open. And let me bring Shar and Greg back on here before we go much further. Let me lock them in. Okay, Greg, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. We got you locked in now. Let's bring in Shar. Shar, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. We got you locked in. Good. So, let's see. I did say that we want to get into the whys and the whos this time, but I think we want to give Greg a little more time to develop the, you know, his thoughts about why it had to have been a demolition and not a reaction to the planes running into the buildings. So continue on, Greg. You wanted to hit a couple of other points that you hadn't been able to in the previous hour.
Thanks so much. And I've also got four website addresses I'd like to read to people so they can do their own research, because, of course, there's a lot to know, and we just have the short time we have here today. The Toronto hearings can be watched online at torontohearings.org. You'll find a couple of links there to live streaming TV, and hopefully that's running well. They've had some noise, some sound issues, but that's a very exciting set of hearings, and a lot of top people are there for 4 days there in Toronto, and people should tune in when they can to that. In addition, I did most of my first years of activism at 9/11 Research, a website run by Jim Hoffman. And there's thousands of pages there of original content, excellent research. And you can read about and even order an essay that I wrote called Where Are the 9/11 Whistleblowers? Responding to the very common objection, how could they keep so many people quiet who must have been involved in some kind of a controlled demolition, you know, placing hundreds or thousands of charges. How could they keep that quiet? And I go through the evidence, the reasoning for this on that site. 911review.com, 911 Review, deals with disinformation, poor arguments for 9/11 truth, common errors in the literature that people repeat because they've heard it without getting to the bottom of it and seeing what's really true. And then finally, journalof911studies.com. I have an essay there as well, which is free of charge, and one of the most popular essays there. It's about, the title is Jones v. Robertson. You can scan down in the front page, and that's a commentary on a radio debate between physicist Stephen Jones and engineer Leslie Robertson, who worked on the World Trade Center and defended the official account.
That's great. Okay, so there's a lot of data there. I think we'll get back to the phone lines now. If you want to give us a call, again, the number is 479-1080. That's an area code 831. If you want to participate via email, the address is mz@ksco.com. I get a lot of emails all during the rest of the week here, not just during the Saturday special. I try to answer all of them. Sometimes a few slip through the cracks and so forth because I do get quite a bit. But we would like to hear from you and weigh in on the topic here. And I particularly want to get into the whys here. So we have about 45 minutes remaining in hour number two of the Saturday special. Special guests Greg Roberts and Sharp Murphy. So let's see. Take next here. Let's see who that is. That would be Perry in Watsonville. Welcome to the Saturday special. Perry, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I got a little bit of a reason why, but first, I'm a horseshoer by trade, and I got a forge that heats up to about 2,300 degrees.
Okay.
And I can put really soft iron in there and leave it in there for as long as I want. And it's soft, but it won't turn molten or liquid like all that high-carbon steel did there. And also, when it does get soft, it if you put weight on it, it takes the path of least resistance, so in a building it would fall sideways. Those buildings collapsed inward straight into their own footprint. So, you know, there's no way that that could have gotten hot enough to liquefy steel, and if it did get hot, it would fall sideways and not into its own footprint. As far as why, I think you need to refer to the Project for a New American Century, which was a neocon think tank, and they wrote a paper when Clinton was president, talking about the necessity for a permanent military presence in the Middle East. And they said in order to define the presence, they would need a catalyzes, or quote, a catalyzing catastrophic event like Pearl Harbor. And if you look at the members of that, the neocon think tank, it was, you know, guys like Bill Kristol and Jeb Bush was on there, and I think Cheney and Rumsfeld were also on that. So, for one thing, it would justify a permanent military presence in the Middle East, which we certainly have now. And then, you know, if you remember after the Oklahoma City deal, Clinton tried to get through some unconstitutional legislation similar to the Patriot Act, but not nearly as far-reaching as the Patriot Act, and people just wouldn't go for it. So, you know, once 9/11 happened, they got that kind of legislation through and a lot more with the Patriot Act, as far as, you know, trampling on the Constitution and giving the government overreaching unconstitutional power. So those are two reasons that, you know, could explain why they would do something like that.
I'm happy you shared with us. Thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special. Is that your dog or someone else's dog?
Someone else's dog.
Let's see. It could either be Char's dog or it could be Greg's dog. Whose dog is it?
It's not mine.
Okay, that leaves Char. Maybe, but I don't hear the dog anymore. Maybe the dog has been put to sleep. I don't know.
Everybody and their dogs wants 9/11 truth. Let's be honest here.
Right. Okay, great. So, listen, Perry, thanks very much for your phone call, okay? We appreciate it.
Thanks for the great show.
Thank you. Next up, I think, is going to be Barry. Not Perry. Barry in Santa Cruz. Hey, Barry, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey there.
I'm not convinced that Saddam's even dead.
Oh wow! That Saddam is even dead. And what about what about Obama? Osama bin Laden.
Osama.
You know what I'm trying to say.
After Saddam after Saddam got hung, we saw pictures.
Uh huh.
But Osama, he was a good boogeyman. But now that he's gone, we don't even have a boogeyman anymore.
Okay, so wait a minute. What are you? I'm sorry. Are you saying you still don't believe that Saddam Hussein is dead?
No, I believe Saddam's dead, but I'm not sure that Osama's dead.
Okay, gotcha. All righty. So do you have a theory about 9/11 here?
The History Channel sure did a nice campaign movie for Obama on 9/11 for killing Obama.
For killing Obama?
No, for killing
Osama bin Laden.
Osama, yeah. They did a close-up on him, making him look like a hero.
Right. Okay.
So you're supposed to take it on faith that whatever he says happened.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for weighing in. We appreciate it. That was Barry in Santa Cruz. Here comes our next caller, Richard in Pacific Grove. Hi, Richard. Welcome to KSCO with Char and Greg and MZ.
I missed some of the show, but I'm just curious. I take it your guest thinks it was an inside job. Is that right?
Greg?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, you're saying that the buildings didn't... I mean, how did the buildings come down? You're saying there was there internal explosives or what?
That's clearly what the evidence supports.
Okay, and how much explosive would have been necessary to do something like that?
Quite a bit.
And who put it in there? Well, when was it put in there?
Well, obviously, it would have taken weeks or months, depending on how many people they had to do it. We have the world's largest renovation project on the elevator that was done, and that would have given workers access to the elevator shafts.
Okay, so how many people do you really think were involved in putting in that that dynamite? Or whatever it was.
Sir, I don't know that, sir. I'd like to get the people involved in those renovation projects deposed and put under oath to talk about what they saw so that we can answer those questions.
See, all Greg is saying
is... security people? Whenever you build something in New York, you have security people all over the place. Do you think these guys witnessed that going on and none of them have come forward and saying, hey, we saw these guys do this?
Well, that consideration is why many people say that they do think it was an inside job. If the security company and the building owners who had insurance against terrorism wanted it to happen, then
okay.
If an innocent person reported anything in New York,
you know that security companies are generally filled with NYPD people, okay? People that retire from the police department become security guards. Do you think those people stood by while explosives were put in the building that was going to kill their own people?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Yeah. No, it's real easy to come up, just like with that former caller that you had, you know, about Osama bin Laden. I believe Santa Claus is alive, you know what I mean? So we can all say this stuff, but you've got to have some kind of an evidence. You're talking about a heck of a lot of things that had to go right. You had all these people that go in there and lay explosives, and security people turn their back, and then when they were sifting through all the materials and fish kill, nobody coming up and saying, hey, what's this? You know? How about all the people that we've caught after 9/11 and had interrogations? Did any of them say anything about, hey, we know what happened to the buildings?
Most of the people picked up after 9/11 were turned in because they were paid to turn people in Afghanistan. So that you're opening up this huge can of worms about the corruption and the silliness of the arguments that are presented.
I thought I heard Char want to say something.
Well, there's a lot of, if you watch, I've watched all these videos, there's dozens of them, and you can watch them on the internet. One of them is that Zim Shipping broke their lease to get out of the Trade Tower 2 weeks before it was hit. It's an Israeli shipping company. They moved to Norfolk, Virginia, and their empty floor was the floor that the plane hit. Marvin Bush was President Bush's brother. He was the head of security of the computer company that had the contract, and it's in Barbara Bush's book that was his job. And they shut the power off a couple weeks before the attack to install computer wires, which you don't have to shut the electric off to install computer wires because they don't connect to the electric anyway. And so they probably were doing stuff then, and that's why they had to shut the electric off so they wouldn't be caught on the surveillance cameras installing the thermite.
The head of the head of security on the ground and World Trade Center was a Vietnam vet, a very heroic gentleman. And he was the guy that was really in charge of who came in and who came out. You're not suggesting that he knew something about this as well, because he also got killed.
Well, he may have. I mean, Marvin Bush, his live-in babysitter, it's in his driveway. She left her car in gear, got out of her car, and got in front of her car and let her car kill her in his driveway. And it wasn't reported in the Washington Post until about a month after it happened. And they failed to say that she killed herself in his driveway. My gut feeling is that she knew something she shouldn't know. And her own son said that he believes there was something fishy about her death. So, Hernandez was the janitor that worked there for over 20 years, and he goes around giving lectures. He was accredited by President Bush for saving over 200 people because he was the only one there that had keys to the fire, the stairway exits. And he opened a lot of doors so people were able to get down the stairs. And they twisted his account of what happened completely around. And you can watch it on certain videos, the way they put it on the news and the way he said it happened, because they can cut and paste video. And what he said happened was he was in the basement when the first explosion happened in the sub-basement, which blew up the floor up. And he thought an air compressor blew up or something, and he went down to find out what happened. And that explosion was before the first plane hit. He said when he was in the sub-basement and people were burned and he saved a guy in front of about 15 witnesses, then he heard the plane hit from way down in the sub-basement after the explosion went off. And he said they completely didn't even want his testimony in the 9/11 report. And he goes around giving lectures about this because he feels that there was something fishy about it, too.
Well, you know, we can all give lectures. In fact, some of us can get hired in universities like we just had here at the Monterey Institute of International Studies, where for 7 years a man was going around telling everybody he was an expert on guerrilla warfare. And he did this and he did that, but it all boiled down to nothing because it was a lie. Now, it seems to me that after all this, after 10 years, we would have been able to find somebody who said, hey, I know when they put in this explosive. I know who did it. But it just doesn't make sense what you're saying. I know. You ever watch World War II films and you see buildings that were on fire for a long time, and then all of a sudden they just, the one next to them just explodes? And blows up and falls down. Things like that happen. I don't know. I'm not a structural engineer. But you have to show some kind of evidence that somebody did something. And thus far, you've proven nothing. You just, this guy said this, this guy said that.
Well, I would suggest that you watch some of these videos that are out there, because if you see the pictures of the actual debris when those buildings came down, the beams were severed at angles, which would allow them to fall free fall. Now, I don't think that a fire would make them sever at angles.
Well, I got to tell you, I have watched a lot of this stuff. In fact, I went back and I volunteered after the collapse. I waited a couple of weeks, and I worked down on South Central Seaport, South Seaport, and I just was giving out stuff to people.
Gang, I hate to do this. We got so many other callers, and I still want to get into the whys and the whos, okay? So, listen, I want to thank you, Richard, for calling in. I hate to cut you off here, but we want to go to Larry in Florida. Hi, Larry in Florida.
How you do, sir?
Are you really in Florida?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How is it you're listening to us in Florida? I'm delighted, but, I mean, how'd you even hear about us?
Internet radio.
Oh, cool. So you listen to KSCO a lot through the internet?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Okay. So what do you think about our topic today?
I have two questions and a comment for you, and I'll listen off the air. I had read many years ago that a federal agency had conducted a simulated bombing attack on the World Trade Center. It concluded it the day before the actual attack. I wonder if your guest could verify that. Also, on Building 3, nobody seems to talk about the third building anymore. What brought that down? And then the last thing is a comment about the woman being run over by her own car. If anyone's familiar with the MK Ultra and the programming thing, I believe that any of us could be picked up and made to program or be programmed to do things that we would not normally do. And if y'all could address any of that, I'll listen off the air.
Okay, thank you very much. Greg, what do you think? That was Larry. Do you want to tackle that first, Greg?
Can you review what you asked that you thought I should?
No, I wasn't writing it down. I was afraid that I was. God. Okay, Char, help us out, Char. Here, what did you say, Mo?
Basically, I understand what he says about MK Ultra. As a matter of fact, I do believe that some of these soldiers that have attacked their own people and stuff have been programmed. I think Sirhan was programmed somehow because He said, I don't remember shooting Bobby Kennedy. I don't know why I would shoot him because I liked him. So obviously there was something going on with that, too. And they do this all the time. And look at the Northwoods project. They were talking about shooting down a passenger plane. This was when Kennedy was president, to start a war in the Middle East, to take over the Middle East. And then they tried to sink the Liberty. The Israelis shot the Liberty and killed a bunch of our sailors. And one Israeli pilot refused to shoot it. And he said, it's an American ship. I can see the American flag. And they put him in prison for 20 years. And the people that are survived are now retired, and they're all writing books and going on talk shows about what actually happened. And Israel was going to sink the Liberty. President Johnson told the captain of a nearby aircraft carrier not to save it, he said he wanted it at the bottom of the ocean so they could blame it on Egypt so we could take over the Middle East. A Russian ship happened to come along and saw the whole thing and stopped it, and the Liberty hobbled back to port, but now all the sailors that survived it are talking about it. So, yeah, we're evil. I think Jesse Ventura said it, too. You got to go outside this country and live in another country so you can actually see what really goes on, because we're so sheltered from the truth. And if you don't, you know, delve into information that they are not going to give you. The regular
okay, Char. Char, are you ready? Are you ready for a question from Kay?
How can you, Char?
Yeah.
Why are you focusing on Israel, who has enough problems just to survive? Why in the world would Israel start sinking anything that's American when America is Israel's best friend?
But America and Israel did it together.
Why?
Because they wanted to take over the Middle East. It's all
Israel doesn't want to take over the Middle East. But Israel wants to be left alone, to just be peace. And
I don't think that's true.
It is
books,
true.
There's a lot of books written about this.
I don't care about the books. I'm Jewish, and I spend time in Israel, and all they want to do is be peaceful and take care of themselves.
I do really believe that Israeli people are that way, and I think American people are the same way, but I think the people that run our government are not that way.
Well, Israel will not be a party to something like that, and that kind of information comes from people who don't like Israel and would like Israel to disappear. So... You know what else I'd like to say about
ma'am,
this?
Ma'am, one of the witnesses who said what he heard on the radio from the President of the United States was that he wanted that ship to go to the bottom. He ordered other captains in the area not to go to its rescue. You need to read the facts.
That was
ma'am.
President Johnson. His words were, I want that ship at the bottom of the ocean. Those were his exact words.
So?
And they've written a lot of books about
it. So why did Israel get involved in it?
I'm not involved in it. I'm just saying... Our government does evil things, and people have got to start realizing that.
Hey, Ma, hold on a second.
In Cuba, and that's why he was a crook, and that's why Castro took over. We can blame it on ourselves.
Char, hold on just a second here. Ma, do you think our government does evil things?
I can't say whether it does or not.
But you don't think that there's any way in the world that the government of Israel can do evil things?
Well,
without making the people of Israel
only,
evil.
Only for their own survival, they might do evil things, yes.
Oh.
That's all. Would that have anything to do with their survival?
Well,
yes. The U.S. needed an excuse to come in on the side of Egypt in that war, and they had to do without it because of the discovery of the attack. The Russian ship didn't actually stop it, but the people involved realized there was a witness that was not going to go along with the false flag attack.
This reminds me of something I heard on the air. I guess it was
reasoning in a vacuum,
yesterday.
You're reasoning in a vacuum.
Yeah, okay. Yesterday they were talking about the fact that Israel is attacking the ships that go to Gaza because they want to take all the good stuff off. They never mention that Israel wants to stop the ships that go to Gaza because they are bringing
arms
to Gaza so that Gaza can keep throwing bombs in Israel. My two grandchildren, my granddaughter and her husband, were in school, medical school in Israel for 4 years, and they just became doctors. They were in a class of American students. And while they were there, there were these bombs that were being thrown on Israel every single night. And guess what?
They had to go into their bomb shelter, right?
Yeah, they did. Where they lived. And the media never mentioned it. And that's what's happening. And when Israel stops the ships that go to Gaza, by the way, they gave Gaza to the Palestinians just for peace. And every time they give them something for peace, they turn around and attack Israel. So there you are. It's not cut and dried.
It never is.
Never is. It's
never.
It's not simple, but. I have to believe, if any of you have been to Israel, it's such a tiny place. You can go from south to north in 8 hours and east to west in 3 hours. It can't hurt anybody. It wants to be left alone to just live. And there are those in the world that think Israel is evil. And I just can't shut up when I hear something like this.
When
this
you learn facts,
fair.
Though, you can't deny facts. I think that our government has done a lot of evil things.
Okay,
and
they forced Israel to be a party to it too.
I don't know that they forced them. I think they're probably in cahoots together. But I don't think
okay.
the Israeli people are bad people. I think they're
nobody's
just like Americans.
Bad. They have a problem just trying to survive.
Ma, you've
That's
had
all.
A problem with this whole broadcast because you said nobody's mentioning who perpetrated 9/11.
That's right, Michael.
And
you wanted to know why this happened.
Okay, and
it
you
happened,
said?
I think it happened because of Islam. I think the Muslims want to rule the world. And that's how they're going. And we can't find any people to blame about what happened in 9/11 because...
You know where it got financed at? It was all financed through Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
So you'll never find
the culprits, is what I'm saying.
Well,
and they'll continue to try to rule the world.
Well, all the people that they said were involved in it were not involved in it, and the FBI has since admitted that. Osama bin Laden was wanted for a lot of things, but one of them was not for 9/11. He publicly stated 3 times he had nothing to do with 9/11. He was having dialysis in Norfolk, Virginia, I believe, at the time of 9/11 because he was a CIA. He worked for RCIA, and he had kidney failure, so he had to have dialysis.
Okay, you're wasting your time. We'll never know why 9/11 happened.
Well, I think
we'll never know who did it. Is what I mean.
Talk about it
on
a radio show.
Sure, talk about it.
Oh,
fine.
I think,
all right.
Don't you think a lot of it was to take away our liberties, to scare us into complacency?
That makes sense to me, Ma.
Of course, they'll continue to do what they can get away with. But you're not going to find them so that you can punish them. There are too many of them.
They've never found out who killed Kennedy yet either, have they?
Yeah, right.
You don't believe that
it
was
Oswald. I'd like to turn this back to the evidence about 9/11, if we could.
Sure. Okay, Greg, yes. For a little bit here, we have so many phone lines jammed here from people who wanna, and we still have to do a commercial break for this hour here. So anyhow, go ahead, Greg.
Well, people need to be aware that we knew that the towers were demolished from the evidence immediately. Many people knew this from the features of the destruction, the spreading mushroom clouds of pulverized concrete that appeared immediately, as I mentioned earlier. That dust was collected and sampled years later and the results were published in a peer-reviewed paper that has not been contravened by any peer-reviewed response. So it stands as established science of the energetic materials found in the dust. You can Google active thermitic material and you'll find your way to this paper. It's a 25-page long research paper that's free for everyone to read, and I encourage you to go there now and do that, active thermitic material.
How do you spell thermitic?
T-H-E-R-M-I-T-I-C.
Okay. All righty. Let's take a commercial break. You know, forget the promos here, please, Rick, but we'll come back and we'll get to all the callers who are on hold now. So it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, a Saturday special with MZ, Shar, and Greg, and all the rest of you who want to join us here before the top of the hour. So take it away, Rick.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Did you know prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in American men, aside from skin cancer? Join us at Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center on Saturday, September 17th from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. for the 10th annual Prostate Cancer Awareness Day. The event is free and open to the community. Free blood work and prostate exams will be conducted. Dr. Stephen Roberts will be giving his free lecture on prostate cancer screening, treatment, and prevention at 8 a.m. and then again at 10. The event will be held at 2900 Chanticleer Avenue in Santa Cruz. This event honors National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month and is hosted by Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center and the Palo Alto Medical Foundation Santa Cruz, a local leader in the detection, prevention, and treatment of prostate cancer. For more information, call 479-6629 or visit our website at pamf.org/events. Please join us. Deal, deal. Get a daily deal. Hey, Santa Cruz County, get 50 to 90% off daily deals from CruiseOnDailyDeal.com. That's right. Get 50 to 90% off daily deals on restaurants, pizza, fast food, spas, golf, sports, sailing, fishing, kayaking, whale watching, massage, events, hotel, wine tasting, B&Bs, boutiques, activities, and much, much more. Go to CruiseOnDailyDeal.com today and register for the deals. Win a summer at the boardwalk, as every week, CruiseOnDailyDeal.com will draw the names of two registrants for boardwalk season passes. CruiseOnDailyDeal.com will send you 50 to 90% off deals from your local merchants. And that's real money. CruiseOnDailyDeal.com is a property of Times Publishing Group, a proud member of Think Local First, and is the only locally owned daily deal program in Santa Cruz County. Get 50 to 90% off daily deals. Register today at CruiseOnDailyDeal.com. That's C-R-U-Z-O-N Daily Deal. When you register, make sure you put KSCO after your name to be eligible for the prize.
This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas.
MZ? MZ?
Yeah. I'm here.
Again, I don't want to, you know, this is all good information, okay, but I hope that we can not just prove that the media is biased, but keep doing something about it on the day before 9/11 with regard to 9/11.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's see if we can. We got all these people that we've invited to join the program here, and I promise that they're all going to get their chance to get on. I'm going to keep my promise here. So let's see who will be next. It was going to be Mo in the Mountains, I think. Mo's been waiting a long time. Go ahead, Mo. You're on the air on KSEO.
Morning, people. Thank you kindly for this show.
Sure.
I would like to link Shanksville with building number 7. First of all, Flight 93 did not crash in Shanksville. Doubt that. Go to The Power Hour and buy Dave Von Kleist's DVD, and you will see the news talker in Akron, Ohio, say Mayor so-and-so just announced that Flight 93 out of Boston made an emergency landing at the Akron-Cleveland Airport. Now, I don't know if the rest of this is from that or a different memory, but it's the plane taxied to a remote spot in the airport and the passenger deplaned. And don't forget, there was only 20% load on those planes, so they didn't have to kill too many people. Now, that's what happened in 93. And what happened at Shanksville, I learned this from Colonel Don de Grand Prix, a colonel in the Air Force. He has a very good friend who is or was, if he's still alive, the general commanding the Minot Air Force Base. He scrambled their aircraft, and when they spotted the drone over Pennsylvania, against orders, he ordered it shot down. And that's what landed in that field. And you people are really strange. I mean, they show you an absolutely empty field with a great big hole in the ground and one tiny piece of wreckage, and they tell you that a 767 crashed there, and not even the local sheriff can get near it. Now, I'm certain that this drone was intended for Building 47, and they must have had a real hard time when it shot down because they had all the explosives planted. And I think the reason they had to shoot it down or knock the building down, nobody else will approach this. I can't possibly believe that all of the concrete was turned to dust because of the thermite. And office desks, video monitors, partitions, people, everything was turned to dust. Now, you don't like to approach this anybody, but there had to be another external force on that building. Now, that's why
we have Greg on there, Mo.
That's where Building 7 comes in. Now, who puts their bunker for safety on the 22nd and 23rd floor of a high-rise? Nobody. And that's where Giuliani's bunker was, and that huge diesel tank in the basement fed two huge generators. And I surmise that those generators were used to power up a beam weapon that did all that pulverizing, and that's why Building 7 had to come down. And I'd love to know what Larry Silverstein thought when they told him that he had to go on in front of the whole world and say he pulled it.
Well, we're going to try to get Larry on the Saturday special. I don't know if we're going to succeed, but it doesn't hurt to try. So listen, we have so many other callers and just not even 15 minutes left of the program, Mo, so you got to wrap it up real quick here, okay?
If you lose the fight for the fairgrounds, turn it into a permanent green belt.
Okay.
And then there won't be a half a victory for the SOBs.
Okay, all right.
Good information.
All right. Vernon has sent an email saying, MZ, everybody needs to reconcile the info on this site with that put out by the 9/11 truth people. And then, like in a jury trial, come to their own conclusions. That is, if you're going to be intellectually honest about this whole thing. And the site that Vernon is referring to is www.debunking911.com, debunking911.com. And then he goes on to say, I agree with Kay, 9/11 is most likely going to be relegated to the same conspiracy heap as the JFK assassination. Thank you, Vernon. Okay, our next caller will be Rory in Watsonville. Rory, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, and then we got Michael in Live Oak, Margaret in Santa Cruz, Pat in Santa Cruz. So, we're going to get everybody in here in the next 12 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. I saw the original Building 7 report with the BBC reporter, the lady reporter, saying that the building has come down and the thing's standing behind her, and then it falls down. I mean, I got a really creepy feeling when I saw that. That was, it defies explanation.
Yeah.
Needs more study. The other thing is nobody's ever been able to tell me how newly trained pilots were able to take ultra-modern jet with the modern nav systems 2 hours out from New York or however far out they were, turn them around, turn all their communication equipment off, and fly them with pinpoint accuracy back to New York. How in the world is that possible? And why in God's name didn't we have, 300 fighter jets in the air following those planes instantly? So something's rotten in Denmark. There's a lot of big question marks. I mean, are we that vulnerable? We've got the best air force in the world, so we can't scramble some jets on some errant airliners. People, I don't know if everybody understands, when a jet's flying, it's got to be in contact with the towers that in the region that it's flying. If it goes incommunicado, believe me, the people in the towers know it. And I'm guessing they probably had to fly through 3 or 4 different tower airspaces to go back to New York. Does your guest have any thoughts on that?
I have a thought. You reminded me, this is really good stuff. Even for the people who cannot wrap their head around controlled demolition and everything that it implies, if they accept the official explanation, which is actually a radical incompetence theory, mm-hmm. We should still have a new investigation. Every car accident where somebody is negligent or incompetent, there's a trial for civil damages where you have to pay for what you messed up. We haven't had anything like that. Not one single person has been reprimanded for their failure to protect American lives that day, jobs which they trained for years and on which we spent billions to be ready. And so this is insane that people have accepted this, that somehow sympathy for the victims has been turned into a free pass for the people who failed to do their jobs. Even on the incompetence theory, we have been completely betrayed by the powers that be.
All right, we've got to go on to our next caller now. Thank you, Rory. Next caller here is, not me. I'll take next here. Okay, next caller is Michael in Live Oak. You're on the air, Michael.
Hey, Michael. First, I want to thank your mom for standing up for Israel. It seems like every time these discussions get started, that's where it always ends up. They want to blame Israel for something. So,
yeah.
I want to thank her.
Thanks for back.
I was watching 4 different televisions on 9/11 when it happened. And somewhere in all that jumble, there was one of the networks, I believe it was CNN, was in an office with the owner of the complex, emergency officials, people in uniform, and they were explaining to him that they could not get in and start any kind of rescue from the Twin Towers falling because they were afraid Building 7 was going to come down. I heard with my own ears the owner of the complex tell these people to pull the building. It was a controlled demolition. They brought it down that afternoon so that they could get in there and start rescue efforts. That explains all the thermite stuff that's everywhere. And another thing, I just wanted to throw that in there. This, in my opinion, is not the appropriate day to be having this discussion. And, your guest, I think they ought to be ashamed of themselves for some of the things that they're saying, the things that they're applying on this day before the anniversary of this event. This is not the appropriate time for this.
Well, I know what you're saying, Michael. I don't know. I guess it's just KSCO is a little different. We're different. We buck the trends. That's what everybody else is doing.
Well, Michael, you're kind of just doing your job.
Yeah.
This whole thing, I think all of this whole thing is crazy because the people, they seem to want to just look at certain things. They don't look at the obvious. Just the whole thing is nuts. Your previous caller talking about the drone or something and the plane crashing in the field, and it's all crazy. It's crazy. And the people that are into all this, they're crazy. There's something wrong with their minds. And, you know, I just, the whole thing to me is just absurd. And people who believe that people in our own government, our own people, would kill our own people for some thing that doesn't even make any sense. None of that makes any sense to me. The whole thing's nuts. I mean, what happened that day, what you obviously saw, is what happened. It's none of these conspiracy people. They apparently don't have anything in their lives that's worthwhile to grab onto. Maybe they need to think about getting on their knees and doing a little bit of praying, and maybe the truth and a little bit of sensibility might come into their minds. Because right now they don't have it.
I think that's enough information for now, sir.
Say again?
Thank you.
Okay, there now our next caller, and I thank Michael also. Margaret in, no, excuse me, Pat in Santa Cruz, you're up next. You're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hi. Interesting show, all right.
Yeah.
I have an idea about the USS Liberty, since the entire crew is adamant that it was not a mistake, but that it was a deliberate attack by Israel, knowing fully well that it was an American crew. I bet you could get a crewman to be on your show.
Well, we'll put Rosie or Rick or somebody, some extra competent person at KSCO on that.
I'll bet you very much that would be one hell of a show.
Yeah, it would be one hell of a show.
Great show.
Thank you.
And the last caller said this is not the appropriate time to discuss it. I mean, we've had 10 years to discuss it. If this isn't the appropriate time, I'd like to know when it is.
Well, Michael's off the air now. Off the phone
now,
so we can't ask him that question and have him answer. Maybe he's listening.
I suspect never would be the right time. That's my guess.
Yeah.
But good show. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat. Next caller will be Margaret in Santa Cruz. Oh yeah, go ahead. Hold on just a second, Margaret.
Real quick, I think it's very important to acknowledge that about half the families are with us on questioning what happened and demanding real answers. The Jersey Girls
really? Okay. Yeah, I was. That's great that you brought that up.
The Jersey Girls were responsible for the government finally instituting a special commission, which they did 6 days after the Challenger disaster or whatever. It took them over a year to get a real investigation, even the appearance of one, I should say, to be instituted. They've been demanding this from the beginning, and the commission did not answer or even address most of their questions. To say that it dishonors the victims is a flat-out lie. Some families may feel that way because it reopens wounds. They would rather stay healed, and I understand that. But if it were my loved ones killed, I would want to know the truth.
Okay, Margaret, you're on.
Hi. Michael Neal was a career CIA guy that the Pentagon let go because he unveiled a plot to destroy the towers. And he then got hired at the Trade Centers as a security head. And he documented how the bomb-sniffing dogs for the Twin Towers were removed for 2 months prior to the attack. And the entire 9/11 scam is unraveling, as do all evil plots. And there is never a perfect crime, only perfect love. And I'll tell you, the 9/11 crime of these control freaks and these treason traitor traps will backfire like all sabotage backfires. And I just hope that they allow us to line them up, and then they can take their turn pulling the dog-guillotine ropes one upon the other on these treason thugs.
Okay, that's a...
You know, they paid the surviving spouses and families $1 million each, didn't they? And yet they turn around and they insult the surviving first responders by banning them from the memorial tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, that's horrible. That's unconscionable. Anyhow, Margaret, thanks very much. Roger and Seaside, you got to make this quick, but I promise we get you on. Go ahead.
Is this Mrs. Whirling?
Yes.
I'd like to thank you for what you're doing. I don't normally listen to the station, but, man, I really, really appreciate you doing this. This thing, like your previous caller said, is coming unraveled. You can't cover up something this big. Do you still have your guest on from A&E for 9/11 Truth?
Yes. Yeah. Greg is still here.
I went and saw Richard Gage speak in Carmel on this a few years back, and the work that those guys are doing to bring this, because we need to bring this out, and this is the time to bring this out, and we need people to think about it and just examine what has happened. When I saw Richard Gage speak on in Carmel a few years back, it was a very sinking feeling to think that this might have actually have happened. So I know it's hard to believe it, because I didn't, but when you do, you get pissed, and I'm telling you, things are going to get done. Thank you guys both.
Okay, thank you, Roger. And I really want to thank really want to thank our guests today, Greg Roberts from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and Char Murphy, my good friend. We worked the longevity business together. And all the callers who participated. This was a really, really lively program here, as I thought it would be. I didn't want to do what everybody else is doing. What were you doing when you heard about 9/11? Who cares? You know, let's just want to thank all you guys. And this program will be rebroadcast tonight on KSCO AM 1080 between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. If you want to tune in, you can hear us at KSCO.com or type in listen.KSCO.com from any browser in the world, as long as your speakers are connected to your smartphone or your computer. Again, thanks to Greg and Char, and that's it. See you next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. From the muddy ground where United Airlines Flight 93 hit the ground almost 10 years ago, now stands a wall of white marble inscribed with the names of the 40 who died on September 11th. Let's go live to the memorial in Shanksville now, and Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper.
Karen, after the drape from that wall came down, Vice President Biden, former Presidents George W. Bush and Bill Clinton walked along it, getting a firsthand look. In the nearby Field of Honor, Flight 93 relatives listen as former President Bush says the memory of that morning almost 10 years ago is still fresh.
And so is the pain. America shares your grief. We pray for your comfort. And we honor your loved ones.
Vice President Joe Biden says those on Flight 93 countered unimaginable fear with courage. Karen?
Earlier today, Jennifer, there was a remembrance at the Pentagon.
Former President George W. Bush laid a wreath at the Pentagon this morning in the spot where American Airlines Flight 77 made impact almost 10 years ago. Joined by his wife, Laura, the president did not speak, but he did stop for a moment to reflect silently near the 9/11 stone, which has the date of the attacks etched into it. Also present at the Pentagon this morning, former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and current Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. President Bush will be in New York tomorrow for ceremonies at Ground Zero. In Washington, Peter Ducey, Fox News Radio.
Homeland Security has warned New York and Washington to be on alert this weekend. An unconfirmed threat of car bombs being used to disrupt remembrance ceremonies. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says it's par for the course.
And that's why security services stay up at night and keep planning, and why we keep spending more money. We spend $8.5 billion on our police department.
The National September 11th Memorial at Ground Zero will be officially unveiled tomorrow. That's for the families, open to the public on Monday. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto, when you want it, and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for your world. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
Even in hiding, Muammar Gaddafi was able to get an audio message on radio in Libya urging his supporters to stand up and fight. The rebels, meantime, are intent on taking down his supporters' final strongholds.
Rebel forces are facing stiff resistance as they attempted to take the key town of Bani Walid held by pro-Gaddafi forces. Fighters were forced to pull back from the outskirts of the town today after coming under heavy fire. They told Fox News they would wait for NATO airstrikes to clear the way. NATO has, though, insisted it isn't coordinating its offensive operations with the rebel forces. In Tripoli, David Piper, Fox News Radio.
The National Weather Service says tropical storm Nate is getting stronger and could be near hurricane strength when it hits Mexico tomorrow. Nate is about 145 miles east-northeast of Veracruz, with maximum sustained winds near 60 miles an hour. NASCAR's Sprint Cup Series is in Virginia tonight.
Kyle Busch took the checkered flag at Richmond in the spring and thinks he can do it again this weekend.
I enjoy going to Richmond. It's been a fun place and a great place for me with results lately.
Denny Hamlin wishes he didn't have to worry about qualifying for the chase at Richmond.
You want to just be able to go out there and focus on getting your best finish, but when you have to constantly worry about where other guys are running, it's no fun at all.
Hamlin currently is in 12th place in the point standings, hoping to secure one of the two wild card slots. Kyle Busch is in second place and has clinched a spot in the chase. Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Marge Tashina, Fox News Radio.
Used to be politicians loved tax credits to lure businesses to their states. Now some governors and lawmakers are asking if those tax credits are really worth it as they deal with some high unemployment and big budget problems. Take Missouri, where a special legislative session is looking over some of that state's most costly tax credits. Supporters say the credits are helping with job creation and keeping jobs in state. Opponents say they're taking away from schools and public services. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
12:05 on this Saturday afternoon, September 10th. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast roadways. We're going to look at traffic and weather. We'll start out on the roadway south 101 just before Cochran Road. There is a very slow-moving truck in the middle lane. CHP is en route there. Last reported again, south 101 just before Cochran Road. Highway 9 at mile marker 22, there was a traffic collision, motorcyclist down. This one happened at 11:30, major injuries, Cal Fire, police on scene. Again, this is Highway 9 at mile marker 22. And up in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 and 236, it was a head-on crash just right around 10:40 this morning. Emergency crews are on scene, major injuries for that crash as well. Not going to see a whole lot of sun coastside today in Santa Cruz. Highs today will be in the upper 60s, 70s, and 80s inland. Believe it or not, chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. It's 61 outside KSCO studios. On KSCO, it's time for...